Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt, the Barbarian.
America, we're glad you're here tonight. This is Epic Episode 53, and the theme tonight is the war on white males in America. Yes, our show is bold and brave, rogue and infamous and legendary. We will go there tonight with wild abandon. They think they can erase us, but they do so only in vain. At the great Jedi Knight, Obi-Wan Kenobi said in the fantastic movie Star Wars, the more they try to destroy us, the more powerful we will become. We have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. The coming reality is that your idols and statues, Mr. and Mrs. America, will continue to be smashed and crushed and taken down by the Marxist mobs. We see it all over the country. Your faith in the coming days, weeks, and months will be tested, and your way of life will one day come to an end. You have been warned about the racial unrest in this country. We normally like to talk about other issues on this show, like freedom and liberty, economics, getting ahead in life, success stories. I'd like to talk about the geopolitics of America and where it's situated. But every now and again, we have to come back to our roots, our radio tribalism, if you will. We have to come back and talk about things that are the undercurrent in America. As I've warned you before, this show talks about everything, and nothing is off the table. Now, we've been warned about the racial unrest. We've seen it all last year. And stay with your close friends and associates and people like yourself going forward, because doing anything else can and will put you in extreme jeopardy as we go forward in life. Just watch all the Twitter and internet videos every day. If you don't believe me, there's your proof. Now, the Democrat uber-liberal media wants you to blow all this off like nothing real is actually happening out there in the country. But we know better. We will not do that, because right now we have laser sight vision, and we are paying attention like never before to every move they make. They have awakened us. They have now awakened our alpha power and warrior spirit. You have surely heard of the red pill and the black pill. But the black pill is this. It's a state of mind brought upon by the realization of harsh truths, seeing reality and society for what it truly is, beyond the illusion of quote, equality, we are always led to believe. This show is your black pill moment. We will talk about the taboo subjects, the things other rhino, watered down, weak, cuck talk show hosts around the country are afraid to talk about, because their program director won't let them. The owner of the radio station would not tolerate it on their corporate radio airwaves. They would tell them, how dare you bring these subjects up? It might offend one of our sponsors. Well, my show isn't like that. I am the producer. I am the radio talk show host. I am the program director. I am the dictator behind this radio microphone, thank God. And a benevolent one at that. Now, the revolutionary colonists had help from the French. And now the people, the citizens, the real citizens of America, must rely upon themselves. As I've told you before, nobody is coming to help us. There is nowhere to run. We must stand against evil. Your lives and the lives of your children depend upon it. We must cast off the communist New World Order oppressors and the elite cabal by ourselves so we may finally live in peace on planet Earth. If you don't think things are not serious under the surface right now in America, then you are sadly mistaken and you are not paying attention. Yes, radio is entertainment. It is only that way to capture your attention and imagination. Because I know as your host that people learn in different ways. And we know they are at war with us in government, in the media, society. This can be done regionally in the future by rendering the federal and state political scumbags irrelevant and denying them sustenance through your tax dollars. The America that I grew up in is fast eroding, unfortunately. I am truly blessed to have been born in a time when real freedom and liberty is what all real Americans wanted. But that old American republic is dead. We have to get used to it. I believe that in the future, as I gaze into my radio crystal ball and that of America's future, that federal forces will someday fracture. Some will go to the patriots, others to the enemy. America may very well balkanize in the future. In fact, you see it now, don't you? We are getting away from the riffraff and the political scum in the streets and criminals and getting into our armed, gated communities, our mountain hideaways, strongholds, and fortresses set in stone. And we are self-segregating and self-balkanizing like never before in America, which in my opinion is a very good thing. For there will be no more kumbaya, as the elites say they want. What they really want in America is to splinter it, to smash it, to destroy it. They want America at war with itself and you. And I say, so be it. The Union is an artifice held together by artificial federal power in many ways, in the District of Criminals, the District of Columbia. It's a power that in the future needs to be minimized and defeated as it constantly tries to hurt your freedom and liberty and charge you confiscatory tax rates to pay for more and more federal programs and more foreign aid that you do not need and you do not want. It is a total waste of your tax dollars. Now, Lincoln waged war on the nation to hold it together, and over 1 million Americans died as a result of it. Never forget that. Abraham Lincoln is a hero to some and a tyrant to many. In the future, it may be succession yet again. Lincoln-style 1860, it may be victory or death. There will be no mercy and no quarter to our enemies. We must smash the vampire pirates and their flying media, chimpanzees and stooges who daily put out political stories attacking the white males in America, And don't deny it, and don't you dare call the show and say it doesn't happen, because we know damn well it happens. And so they have awakened something that I don't think they're going to like. We want peace to permeate America. We want peace in our streets, law and order. We are the real law and order party. We are the peaceful transition, the peaceful party. But we also know that society is sick, and we are the doctors. Now, this is the 100th anniversary this week of the Tulsa Massacre, which occurred in 1921. There's been a lot of fanfare about it, a lot of talk about it. We'll talk about that tonight a little bit, but we're not going to dwell on it, unlike the media. Just know this, no matter who you're talking to with the water cooler, whatever's going on, nobody alive today, virtually no one, was alive in 1921. I bet 100% of everyone you meet, nobody was around during the Tulsa Massacre. Nobody harmed anybody living today. Yet they are dredging this up with the fanfare. They're having marches in Tulsa, armed minority groups. They're having speeches, all designed, just know this, you boil it all down, all the fanfare, Biden going to Tulsa, it's all designed to create hatred toward white America. It's designed for people of the black and brown races to hate you even more. And I'll be blunt, that's what it's designed for. The media loves this. It's their favorite narrative. Attack Whitey. Make Whitey look bad. And someday, like in South Africa, it's going to be kill Whitey. We've already heard that during the Minneapolis riots, when it was people were saying, go find whites and kill them. They're ginning things up in this country. They're ginning it up day by day. The media, the mass media, the networks. You know who they are. Well, our enemies say they want to kill us. It's a strategy they've chosen to destroy us. This is an existential threat to the white European race, to be very blunt. Nobody else is talking about it because they're afraid of being called a racist or an evil white man, right? The suburbs are always called the evil white suburbs by the media. But I say this, to rise above it as best we can. Going forward, I say be nice and kind to everyone you meet, as we always have, as the saying goes. But also, do not have close associations or acquaintances with people who secretly hate you. Stay away from crowded places where militant Democrats hang out and might go, because that is how they get access to their future victims. I am not here to worry about or save or promote minorities in America. It is not my role. They have 1,000 people to do that for them. They have the federal government, Hollywood, the mass media, and even corporate America looking after them daily. And we have no one but ourselves, yet again, my brave warriors. My people are currently undergoing a genocide, many say. All stages of the genocide are being enacted in one form or another in different areas of the country and world. What the leftist Democrats are very good at is incrementalism, step by step by step, dogged steps. They march. They march in your suburbs. They tear down your generals and your warrior statues. They march every day while you're not marching, while you're sitting at home eating pizza, while you're enjoying your life, which is fine. But just be aware that while you're doing that, the militants are planning war against you. I will not mince words tonight, or as I never have on any of my shows going back to KFNX. I will speak truth to power, and that's how we will do it every night.
Von Wehunt speaks truth to power. Von Wehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. No excuses for putting America first. Von Wehunt, the Barbarian, Thursday at 8 p.m. The Von Wehhunt Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wehhunt is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wehhunt will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wehhunt is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wehhunt, the Barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m.
Now, let's just cut to the chase and boil it down for you, because I am famous for boiling down politics. On my show, we will have some fun later on in the show. The monologue is always hard-hitting. We'll talk about subjects that, again, other radio stations are afraid to even broadcast. But I will be blunt. There is a publicly open and stated anti-white policy and sentiment right now in this country being pushed by the liberal Democrat media and government, and these anti-white policies are being enacted in institutions and organizations throughout the country every day. Just this past week, the white male executives of Lockheed Martin were sent to re-education camp. Only the white male executives. They had to relearn or unlearn their white male privilege. And we're seeing that from the top to the bottom of all corporate America institutions. I warned you a long time ago that corporate America was hijacked by the Democrat Party. We're seeing it every day now. But we will never beg our arch enemies in this world for any mercy. We will conquer and vanquish them all if we have to. Right now, let's just cut to the chase. The European and American whites are in an existential battle for survival. There is a war on white males in America. Once we are a minority and out of power, and once the minorities achieve critical mass, that's 51% or more of the local population where you live, I guarantee you that your new demographic masters will not be kind to you. In South Africa, which would happen anywhere in the world, they will torture your children in front of you. In fact, they want America to be the next South Africa. They have publicly said this. So, everyone, you need to set your priorities accordingly. Be prepared, we talked about for 6-7 years on this show, and understand the powerful, very powerful riptide and underwater currents going on in America today. You will not be given any warnings or suggestions by the grand old party, the GOP. They are famously called cuck-servatives, who famously say, and they constantly chatter, and they'll say, race doesn't matter. It never, we have a big tent philosophy. Well, wonderful. But the problem is that a lot of people don't think that way. Well, you are thinking that way. They have no idea what the militant, Democrat, Marxist, minority races have in store for them once whites become a minority in this country. If you think it is bad now, just wait. Because the browning of America is very real. That's why our border is open and porous. They want the whites to be given a pink slip. They want them to be relegated to minority status. Remember, in the Democrat mind, up is down, down is up. Good is evil, evil is good. And this is how they want to totally subvert and invert America with no borders. And I predict there will be millions upon millions of people who will be paid, encouraged, and organized south of our border to raid our border, to do a bull rush on it. In the very near future, wave after wave after wave. At the same time, Biden and Harris have promised you, America, to bring in millions upon millions upon millions of people from the third world, like Omar in Minneapolis, and like other people like her and her ilk, to take control of congressional districts and to vote you out of power, to at least relegate you. If you're in the Congress or the Senate, just sit at a corner with your mask on and not utter a frickin' word. Hate to say it, but racial identity politics is normal and natural in the world. We don't like to dwell on that, but sometimes they force us to. I would say that we're hardwired for it. The cuck position of always denying every time automatically that identity politics isn't there is the loser position in the future, which is why the wokeism policy on the left is winning. You have been warned. Stay with your close friends and associates and people like yourself. Just going forward, we will talk about these things. Unfortunately, we'd like to move beyond race or skin color, but the left loves talking about race. What have I told you a million times? The Democrats talk about race all the time, 24/7. They talk about race and racial politics. They want to carve up this country in little identity demographic groups. They always talk about race on the left. When the right talks about it once in a while, they're called a racist. You're an evil white person. How dare you bring up race? You're supposed to be a cuck. You're supposed to be a GOP guy. You're supposed to wear your little red hat and shut the F up. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Am I right? You know I'm right. How dare you even utter the word by even bringing it up? You've entered their arena, their octagon. They've been talking about race for years. So two can play at that game. You want to talk about it? We'll talk about it. But you might not like what I have to say. So, folks, you have reached the infamous Von Wien Show. I am your dramatic warlord. We will talk about everything tonight. We will accept all calls. We'll try to get you all on the air. New calls always get to the front of the line. 563-999-3437 is the number. So glad you're here tonight. We have a great show every week and a lot of smart callers. I think you will really enjoy it.
Make no mistake about it. It's the Von Wien Show, and it's on with Von.
Damn right.
Make no mistake about it. It's the Von Wien.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, on some of the news tonight, the UK is now considering a backup plan in case the ministers there need to reverse their decision due to the COVID. Even though over 40 million people in the UK have had their first vaccination, 26 million people have received both. Yet due to the spread of the Indian variant, which is now being called the Delta variant, this could do further damage to restaurants, hotels, and bars, they say. Interesting. And one-fifth of U.S. beef capacity wiped out by a cyber attack on JBS. Now, there appears to be a Russian cyber attack. This latest one with JBS, they're the largest meat producer globally. They were forced to shut down beef plants in the United States. And the attack comes just 3 weeks after another ransomware attack on Colonial Pipeline disrupted fuel operations in the United States. And in other news around the nation, so we talked about the Tulsa massacre 100 years ago today, the deadliest racial massacre in U.S. history began in the so-called thriving Greenwood African-American community of Tulsa, Oklahoma. But we have been led to believe that a racist mob of whites descended upon this area of Tulsa and began killing randomly. But what really happened? And was that the real reason? 100 years ago, there's very little, there's a lot of information about it, but a lot of it is conjecture and anecdotes, things of that nature. We know it happened. And but again, as I told you before, this is all designed to instill hatred towards whites. And the militant blacks marching this past weekend in the Tulsa downtown streets now want reparations from the city of Tulsa and the state of Oklahoma. Unbelievable. And it's very terrible what happened there, and nobody condones that. But I think dredging these things up 100 years later is also counterproductive. We need to move on as a nation. We cannot move on if we're constantly digging up graves in Tulsa and elsewhere, which is what they're doing while we speak tonight. Now, Biden went there, and he called that an act of domestic terrorism and says there's a, you know, a line in the sand and there's hate today. There will always be hate in the world. But again, Biden going there and saying what he said, which is really not healing the nation. He just divides the nation more. Biden is nothing constructive for the nation by going to Tulsa. It's okay to go there, but what he said really is counterproductive and is not, because the Democrats always say that they want to bring people together. Their words, not mine. Well, if you want to bring people together, going there and saying what he said is not going to achieve your goal. In other news tonight, the election corruption infests even the cops, it seems, allegedly, in Fulton County, Georgia. The sheriff deputies abandoned the ballot audit warehouse against a court order. 20 minutes later, the alarm went off. The alarm company arrived to find the building wide open. The fraud resulting in theft of the 2020 presidential election is revealing corruption of almost all levels of government, it says, in the state of Georgia. Unreal what's going on out there. Allegations are that tens of thousands of counterfeit ballots are included in the 147,000 batch of mail-in ballots and envelopes. The video surveillance film from that arena the night of November 3rd, 2020, seems to validate these allegations. So we have that to go on, a warehouse that was abandoned in Fulton County. The off-duty police security detail were there per court order, seem to have abandoned their post. Another investigation to look into. More corruption, perhaps? We shall see, America. Also, Swedish schools are now forcing their students to participate in LGBT climate demonstrations. In Sweden and much of Europa, you are now being forced to march in their uber-leftist Marxist demonstrations, of course. And MI6, which is the secret service there in the intelligence services of Great Britain, UK, and the MI6 had warned that China will have had lab leak evidence destroyed or made to disappear. Yes, Sherlock, we finally know that. Thank you for the – we know about that for a year. Thank you for the stark intel report from MI6. It's pretty obvious that it came from China. It's pretty obvious that they had destroyed and made other evidence disappear, in my view. It's not really a big news story, but it did make the rounds. And should COVID commies worry about violent resistance? Not only did the communists steal our election, they want to liquidate the 80-plus million patriots who voted for President Trump. Cancel culture is about canceling you and the nation state. COVID vaccines are about killing you, in my book. We must awaken from our slumber and realize that we have been declared redundant. We cannot continue to play stupid or be ignorant or act like nothing is going on when about half of America has been handed their pink slip by the political elites. These depraved psychopaths in our media and the government are gaslighting you to believe that resistance to tyranny is now, quote, domestic terrorism. I will repeat, they are saying that if you resist them and if you question the ballots, if you question the vote, which is your express American right, that's now domestic terrorism in their eyes. Decent Americans, hardworking Americans are in the crosshairs, but they act more like deer in the headlights. The COVID communists are waging war on them, yet they act like nothing has happened. And in a war of words, you know the show, I always tell you that we are a world at war. Now get this. China threatens the United States this week. This is no joke, and this is no drill, Virginia. China threatens the United States with intense nuclear showdown as it quickly ramps up its atomic program, as they say, quote, a vital deterrent against America. The Chinese Communist Party's mouthpiece newspaper in Beijing launched a blistering attack on the West, saying China's nuclear plan was now vital to the country's strategic deterrence against the United States. Folks, we have a big show for you tonight. Our call board has already been lit up like a Christmas tree. We're glad you're here tonight. We are a world at war. We'll start our famous show. Damn right. I am Von Wehunt, the dramatic warlord of the airwaves. This is cold radio like no other. The torch has been passed. The gauntlet has been thrown down. And with that, let's get to our calls to the gunslinger out there in Texas. Let's get the gunslinger on the air. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Are you there? Yes, can you hear me? Hello, hello.
Loud and clear. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. You know, just trying to not to get the float away from all that rain we're having here in Texas. Man, this is
crazy. I heard it.
It is very crazy. You know, this has got to be mm-hmm. one of the most strangest things I have ever seen. Okay? These people that are tearing down statues and stuff, you know, just because you're tearing down statues, all it's doing is making that person look stupid. Okay, you're not going to change mm-hmm. history. Okay, you're not going to do it. Okay, you can try it. You can sit there till you blue in the face, and all you're going to do is, well, faint over and pass out. Okay, this is, it's getting more and more that these people seem to be wanting a race war in this country. They do.
And I call them out on it. They definitely do. We're going to meet that head on the show, face to face.
Absolutely. Face to face. You have to stand up for these idiots that are apologizing for being white. Makes me freaking sick.
Me too.
These people they took out in horse whip. Okay? I will never apologize for being white. I'm white from the tip of my head all the way down to the tip of my toe. And Southern, by the way. I was born and raised in Texas. Okay.
Damn right.
Okay. But these people that are trying to, it's not the whites saying, well, we need to take down all the Martin Luther King statues and rename the schools that were named after them and the streets and all this, blah, blah, blah. No. Who's doing it? It's them. Okay.
That's right.
And when you see these black-on-white crimes, I mean, oh, my God. But when you see black-on-black crimes, it doesn't even make the news. But you let a white cop, or anyone for that matter, you know, in self-defense, take, you know, have to, you know, do whatever you got to do in these situations, then, oh, my God. You're it's just like that George Floyd idiot. He's a criminal. Mm-hmm. He's a dope.
Yes, he is.
But yet they hold him up like he's some type of god. Insane thing I have ever seen in my entire life. But when these people stoop this low to start apologizing, like I said, for being white, we got a problem in this country. We got a bad problem because
I agree. And what they want, I call it on this show. I've got some newer terms that we're going to get out there in the lexicon, gunslinger. I call it minority racism. That's what it is.
Yes.
It's minority racism directed against whites. And what they want, you're right. They don't want you to, they don't want equality with you or even parity. They want you to worship them. They want black worship. They want you on your knees begging for mercy, not equality as they try to claim. So I'll call them out on that as well. They want black worship. They want you to worship the blacks in America, not just to give them money. They say because of all these things, you owe us money. They also said they want to be tax exempt going forward. They have a lot of, and I'm telling you, you'll see a lot of these things they're going to fester in our politics, and they're going to try to get you and I and most of America to pay for it at first. And then the violence comes, and they are planning that as well. Did you see the video in Tulsa over the weekend?
Yeah.
About 1,000 armed black militia with AR-15s. Marching for hours, having rallies in downtown Tulsa. If you haven't, if you haven't seen that, go to YouTube, and you can just type it in Tulsa March or type in Black Militia in Tulsa. Anything you know of a general, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I sent it to some of you. It's a 1 hour, 2 hour video. They were there all afternoon. Okay, and. What they said was it's all over the internet. They said, oh, not all of them, sure, but they said they want to kill Whitey. I'll be blunt. They want to kill Whitey. They want to kill you, kill your family. And they say that kills your power structure. Well, it's just a license to kill, and they're already trying to get legal ramifications and foundations set up to when this actually does happen, they can say, well, you know, you did do this in 1921. You did do this, so you owe us this. See? It's how they do things, and they are building this pyramid, so to speak, this racial pyramid, where when the real bullets fly, they want to have something to back them up. And they're ginning things up now. But go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, you got to look at it like this, too. If it wasn't for us white people, us dumbass white people, okay, the blacks wouldn't be in the position that they're in today. Look throughout history. What has, I mean, the whites have made and built this country, okay, from all the way from the beginning. You go even back further than that, back over in Africa over there, their own people were selling them out to the white European slave owners. Okay, wasn't the white people over there and rounding them up. It was their own people. Let that soak in for a minute. Their own people rounding their fellow brothers up and then selling them to the white slave owners. Okay.
Well, actually, most of the gunslinger, most of the slave ships were owned by Jewish trading companies. I want to get that out there.
Yep.
They started the slave trade. The Jewish
That's
merchants
right.
in Europe. That's a fact.
Yep.
So it's not about the Jews. I don't care about them. I state facts. It wasn't the whites of Europe that went down there. It was the Jewish traders and merchants and money changers that went down to Africa who first started that trade. So let's get that out there in the lexicon as well. But go ahead, sir.
Exactly. They even from that point all the way to today through the World Wars, World War II, you know, the Nazi swastika, okay? That's actually a Christian flag, okay? A lot
mm-hmm.
of people didn't know that. The
Hinduism, yes.
Is a Christian flag.
Mm-hmm.
The blacks, the whites, the blacks, and the other minority have demonized the Confederate flag for slavery, okay? Which, it, you know, the Confederate war there wasn't about slavery. It was about money and states' rights. That's it. There was slaves
right.
that fought the Confederate war in the South, and there were slaves in the North that fought in the war in the North. I mean,
that's right.
How could it be? How in God's name could it possibly be about slavery? It wasn't, okay? But 99% of these blacks out here are, I'm sorry, but they're low IQ. If you don't, if you can't do your research and see, hey, wait a minute, there's something to this. But this theory that they have just gone over and over, well, the black man owes us reputation and all this. I'm sorry. You've got it for the past, what, 60, 70 years? Welfare, good colleges, good schools. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So you've been paid a zillion times over. Let's say that welfare word again.
That's right. That is reparations. That is reparations, right?
That is. I would say a million times over, okay, ever since what the welfare state started, what, back in the 40s, 50s, somewhere in there, okay?
Oh, sure.
So
mm-hmm.
They have been paid back a zillion times over. If they don't like it in this country, they need to get on an airplane or a ship and go back to their mother country and do whatever they want to do. If they're leaving every
That's
day, right. I mean, airplanes and ships and all that stuff now. So,
well,
you know,
I like to deal with facts. And the right, and just interject here, African countries, gunslinger, Ghana and Liberia, have open invitations to American blacks to immigrate back to the mother country, Africa. They have, I think, tax benefits, but they are actually, they have, I've actually seen their commercials promoting black re-immigration back to Africa, back to Ghana and Liberia and other African nations. So they have an onboarding process going on now, where if they're not happy here, go back to Africa then. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, for anybody, I don't care if the fact that African Muslims don't like it here, then get your ass back over there to that country, or anybody else for that matter, okay? The doors are open. If the Mexicans don't like it, there's Mexico, okay? Or anybody, or any of these other idiots, and especially those idiots in Congress, they're always, I mean, what about terrorists that support terrorism in the Congress of the United States, for God's sakes?
That's right.
I mean, you got to be kidding. They openly support terrorism in them foreign countries that wants to see us dead. Okay, let that soak
in. They do.
So where do you have, where is their, does their allegiance lie? It doesn't lie with the United States, does it? And that idiot in the White House, okay? So it's just crazy. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I'd like to read a real quick poem real quick. And this should
you got it. Yes, sir. You have the floor.
This is a poem. It says, the author is unknown. It says, I had a dream the other night. I did not understand. A figure walking through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat. And speaking low, he said, we fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and the home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone. Your courage is lost. You're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel, a permit to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you had no voice in choosing how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate. Your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press. You pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for papers, so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make your nation turn from God in shame, and you've taken Satan's number and traded in your name. You give government control to those who do you harm, so they can padlock churches and steal the family farm. They keep our country deep in debt and put men of God in jail. Harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants do not uphold the solemn oaths they sworn. Your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders ship artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter to fight other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or faith to stand with pride? Are there no more values for which you will fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Sons of the Republic, arise and take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and teach each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. Good night.
Love that. Wow. That's cool. Very cool, Gunslinger. What are your final thoughts to America and this undercurrent that I famously and infamously bring out where nobody else would dare? What do you think, sir?
Well, like I said, you know, to these, I call them race traitors, these white people that are trying to, you know, bow down to these other people, okay, you're going to have a rude awakening.
Sure.
One of these, you're going to have a rude awakening. Because when you piss off enough white people, it's you don't want to be standing in front of that fan, as the old saying goes, okay? Because we're not going to take it much longer, okay? Because, you know, like I said, if you don't like the way it is in this country, leave. I'll buy you a ticket out of this country, okay? Just leave.
Love
it. We don't want you know, and that's pretty much a final
get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. Exactly. Damn right.
Love this.
And you know what, Gunslinger, one thing I want to interject here. The weirdest thing I see in the news, man, seriously, is, and I want to get your take on it, and then we'll get to other calls here too, that these white kids, leftist white kids, it's the weirdest, most surreal thing when they're in black block or they have the Marxist fist up in the air. And by the way, folks, that is the Marxist salute, the fist held in the air by, you know, a militant. When they say, you know, Black Lives Matter and black power. These white kids saying black power, Black Lives Matter. It's the most surreal, weird, stupid thing. These kids don't realize that when the real, and hopefully I've always said, I do not want a civil war. Our nation does not need another civil war. But if it happens organically or naturally, which is what I talk about, that's a different matter. But if that were to happen, God forbid, these kids don't realize they are the first to be killed in battle. Because the useful idiots is what they are. They will be the first to be turned on by their black masters. And they don't have a clue. They think they're safe because they are saying Black Lives Matter and black power, and they're marching with them and taking up arms. First of all, to the whites, you'll be an enemy combatant. It doesn't matter. And to the blacks, they're going to kill you first because they can't trust you due to the color of your skin. So they're screwed no matter which way they go. They're too stupid to see the forest for the trees. Your thoughts, sir?
You're absolutely correct, because they are. It's not about, you know, the color of your skin necessarily. It's what's between your ears. That's what difference everything, every person, okay? You know, you can't compare yourself to this serial killer or this, even the idiot in the White House right now, that damn pedophile. If you've seen the latest video where he interrupted himself in a speech there and say, look at the legs on that girl over there. She looks like 19 years old, and look at those legs crossed like a little lady. The girl was 8 years old.
I know.
This is coming
sick.
From a president? You've got to be kidding. Okay? You've got to be kidding.
Right. I agree.
It's disgusting. But like, and it's just what you said.
It's a child, for God's sake. The child.
I when I said that, I mean, when I seen that, I was fanning.
He should have been arrested immediately for that. That's ridiculous.
It's the most ridiculous. I mean, but for these kids that's doing what you're saying, you know, they will eat their own. There's no doubt about that. They're just holding them up. You know, here, you know, shoot this one first. Eat this one first. They're so stupid.
They will devour their own. Like lions in the night, and they will be the first to go one way or the other. Either they're going to get them, or if they piss off enough whites, they're going to be targeting those guys first, because God forbid that ever happens in our country. I don't want it. Millions of Americans want peace and security. Let us live out our lives. We know we don't live in a perfect nation. We are not naive to think it's a perfect government. Look, we're okay with that. But we're not going to ruin everything. And there's a lot of people that want to burn it all down on both sides. And I keep telling them, you need to rethink that, because it sounds real glamorous. They fantasize about, then we're going to be in. No, never works out. History never works out the way you think it does. Ask Napoleon about that. Okay? Capiche? I mean, things take on a life of their own. It's hard for the inexperienced people to understand that. That things, I've told people before, you'll see things come out of the woodwork that will look like World War II, and it will rival the imagination, and you will just be dumbfounded at what can happen so quickly. I've always told people we have a thin veneer, folks, thin veneer of civilized, quote, society. If you truly want to unravel that, you will be shot at for the rest of your life. If you really want that kind of a life, then so be it. But I don't want that kind of a life for, you know, 350 million Americans. I do tell folks to get the hell ready. And I know our enemies seek that. I know they definitely want that. And it could spill over into that. Biden's not helping matters at all. He's screwing things up. But Gunslinger, thank you so much for your call, man. We appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate it. Good night. Lock and load.
Gunslinger. Yes, lock and load. Keep that powder dry and buy more guns, folks. It's the pro-gun show. You need more. I don't care if you have enough. You still need more. And buy that ammo and be prepared. We don't know what the hell's coming down the pike. And I've told you guys that before, time and time and again. America is born to be wild. America is just a wild, raw place. That's the way it's always been. Damn straight we are. Now, I mixed my martini here, and I had a shot of bourbon, so thank you for the intercession there. My handgun's always by my side, as well as my two submachine guns, just in case the studio is broken into by rogue Marxist forces. You never know in this country. You never know. But in other news, proof of aliens will lead to new religions, it says, and massive military spending. From the prior Marxist president, Barack Hussein Obama, the former U.S. president says that many people's religious beliefs will change if it's ever proven that alien life does exist. And there will be calls for huge amounts to be spent on arming ourselves. And news from Mother Russia, Vladimir Putin, mighty Russia. This week, the Russian Finance Ministry publicly confirmed that Russia is to exit from all dollar assets in its wealth fund and to instead invest in euros, pound, gold, and Chinese yuan instead. The announcement was made by Russian Finance Minister Sonov. Specifically, he outlined the Russian Ministry of Finance will introduce changes to the structure of the National Wealth Fund within a month as the share of the U.S. dollar will decrease to zero and the share of Chinese yuan will grow to 30%. They're trying to gut our dollar. It's very obvious. And it's already started with the Russia trying to disengage from it. And those things are always going on in the finance world. Now, a few nights ago, we had the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show, the first Tuesday of every month. Don't forget, this year it just happened to fall on June 1st. Now, because it's such a long stretch from June 1st to early July, if you're lucky, I may do another Bachelor Encore show. I'm planning, I think, sometime middle part of this month will be announced to our regulars, of course, via text or email or whatever. And that show is always fun. People did call the show. Now, I want to let you know there were some comments that were made not on the air. We have millions of listeners nationwide. We're in 15 countries. And by the way, South Africa is now one of our newest countries to be listening to us. Thank you, South Africa. Very appropriate now that we're having our 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Massacre. Perfect timing, I will say. Kind of a weird omen, actually. But I will say that some of the comments were, people said, I thought that we weren't going to talk about politics on your Bachelor show. I just want to hear about fun, goofy stuff or things of that nature, or, you know, just sort of like bubblegum stuff. I mean, look, that show is hard-hitting in a different way. It's more of a fun show. But like I said, the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, I'll tell you again, for those that are listening, it's a show about all capitalize that, A-L-L, all aspects of the bachelor life, including economics, politics, dating, chicks, work, corporate America, everything from building a tiki bar to fixing your Camaro convertible to taking a road trip with the boys or watching sports or even going hunting. It's a little bit of everything. So we cannot separate politics out of every show. We try to minimize it on that show, but a lot of things affect the bachelor life. Some are funny and some are serious. Some are deadly serious. So we talk a little bit about everything. So that's kind of a, these are variety shows, and that show is fun to listen to as well. So just if you're a young guy, I think they were wanting guys to call in and talk about maybe knocking out their girlfriend. Look, that's totally cool. If you want to talk about that, you call in. Don't expect me to always talk about what's on your mind. I'm not a mind reader, though I try. But I want you young guys to call that show. It's designed for you. You talk about what's on your mind. If you want to talk about the bar down the street, we'll talk about that. If you want to talk about the chick you're dating, we'll talk about that, or your horrible boss, or your good boss, or whatever the case is. You know, target practice with your friends, whatever the case is. So you guys, it's up to you to call the show and bring up subjects that you want me to discuss on the air. Don't expect me to figure out every little intricate thing that you're thinking about to push those buttons and trigger you. That's why it's called a talk show. It's a two-way street. I talk some, and then you talk some. Also, when you call the show, I want you to learn the art of the pause. This is not when I give you the floor. We don't have time for your 15 or 20 points of contention. We may have time for 3 to 5. Make your points and pause. Otherwise, I'm talking over you, and you're talking over me, and then we have to mute each other, and then it's just – so learn that. Make your points, and every now and then stop, because I might want to chime in and either bolster what you're saying or ask you a question or corroborate it. So with all that being said, we're going right to the phones, and we're going to get to the Irish pirate, our tech wizard, and let's get him on the air with his tech wizardry and insight into what's really going on. Irish, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, doing all right. I like the it's the warmest night of so far in Arizona, but it's also one of the windiest. And so while I'm talking, I'm actually going to have to raise my window on my office here.
But, yes.
more seriously, I mean, the owls are out partying, so I can't complain. I think the most important of all the attributes that we're piling up tonight is that all of them would not be possible. The way that people take advantage of other people who are unsuspecting of them, if we didn't have at this point, which Gunslinger brought up some of it, for example, the IRS, property taxes, things like that, we have not enough law and too much arbitration in governance. And the hard part is we're having a hard time recognizing who's in charge. For example, you got a constitution that limits the federal government, and the federal government finds a way to make the states give them permission to govern and dictate on those things that normally belong to the states, such as healthcare, such as education, such as policing. I mean, there's a bunch of things in the 10th Amendment that are pretty much making it null and void. But more importantly, the arbitration comes from things we've discussed in the past. For example, calling your car a vehicle, calling your house a residence. These things never happened before my lifetime. You called your home a home or a domicile, you know, a casa, anything but a residence. That had to be brought into society. Yes, it's brainwashing, but the more important thing is, what's the purpose of it? And from here, I'm going to give a biblical quote on it. You're supposed to love God, you know, that creator guy in your constitution. You're supposed to love him with all your mind. And people always say, what does that mean? Brainwashing? No, it means the reverse. It means if you're a creation of a creator and you have certain, shall we say, sovereign skills based on that, you're on your own to define your own world, define your own life, which goes great in the Bachelor show, by the way. The problem we have politically is that we don't love our freedoms with all our mind. We just think we're entitled to them.
I like that.
Because we have them now until somebody takes them away or something. And the answer is the only people that are angry now are the ones that actually knew what the law was supposed to mean or had the idea when they studied history that the founding fathers forwarded like a will your freedoms, because they didn't give you them. God did, according to them. And most of that came out of Deuteronomy. A plurality came out of Deuteronomy for anybody who wants to study that. And if you do that, I recommend very highly the Geneva Bible. Had a sale about a year or two ago, and I picked up one for $29. Boy, did I appreciate that. The only thing that's in there that's different than a King James, because it's basically the same text, is all the commentary. That's the one thing King James didn't want anybody to see. The commentary on freedom that's in the Bible. That's the only thing he was trying to get rid of when he had it, quote-unquote, translated. And, of course, then you had Francis Bacon and other weirdos saying, I'll translate it for you, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, with the same idea in mind that our politicians are doing today. It's nothing new under the sun. God forbid, nothing new under the sun. These people are not newly smart, not newly creative, not newly anything. They're old-fashioned when you want tyranny. That's an old concept, like Cain and Abel. Don't get what I want, I'll kill you. So going back to freedom is the newfangled thing. It came later. It came after we got a chance to determine our own, where we point our feet and walk. And so legally, that's what's going to have to happen in the future. We're going to actually have to start asking our dictators to define the law or get out of the way. I don't know which law I'm supposed to follow. I'm supposed to wear a mask one day and not another. I think I already know the answer to that question. I don't wear masks because I made that decision a long time ago. I know it's bad for my health, me personally. And I don't believe in declarations and proclamations. And, you know, even I make those from time to time and laugh at my own self. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Your actions speak louder than words. And the actions that are happening right now are taking advantage of the legal system and making it into, as you and I like to call it, warfare. I mean, it's not a kinetic war yet, but all war starts with the yellow journalism of people calling people names, blaming people for things they didn't do, and saying, now we have to do something physical, something emotional about it. And so we're talking the good deal on reparations. And the answer is, away something from me now for something that I had nothing to do with. Are you going to give me reparations later? I don't think so. So why should we give you any more? Because clearly we bent over backwards in this country, especially trying to stop the concept of slavery, at least in its defined, somebody has got a gun or a knife or, you know, some reason to hold you hostage and make you do something you don't want to do. And that we went over that history as well on this program, talking about a long time ago, conquerors used to come into countries and try to make them into slaves in their own country. And they rebelled because they knew the layout of the land. They knew the culture. They knew everything. And the conquerors did not. And so the conquerors eventually got overthrown or found that they were a very inefficient system of slavery and had to pretty much give up on the idea. Then came the new idea.
Right. And
kidnap. Go ahead.
Yeah. The welfare state in America today, that is the reparations that we've been paying out for decades, billions upon even trillions of dollars. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, because maybe the definition of a slave there is someone who otherwise can't get a job because they don't have the skills. I mean, originally they kind of talked like that, but now they're not. Now they're just saying, oh, we took your job away from you. You're a slave. I mean, I get that. And I find that it's the word that really offended me was essential. Somebody is deeming whether or not I have value. Yeah, now I'm going like, ew. If you don't know what my value is, shame on you. Now, don't go around labeling me. I could prove to you if you want me to. I double dare you to say, of what value are you to my regime? And I would say, wouldn't you like to know? I mean, I am paying the taxes right now. So that could be turned around. And I think that's one of the things we're going to have to start doing. Because Title 18's got a complete list of everything that's illegal when you kill somebody. And every other supposed crime in the entire world is in Title 18. And it explains what the limits are for what the punishments are supposed to be. And so what they do is they arbitrarily try to get around that by calling things a hate crime. You know, splitting murder now into all sorts of different types of murder. And
yeah,
really
literally
complicated. And so now the good part about that is when they prosecute you, or at least they're supposed to, they have to decide how much they can get away with and they charge you of something. But the problem now is it's become a political process, and somebody's saying, if I don't get the death penalty for what I want, then I'm going to rebel. I'm going to go out in the streets, and we're seeing the record. Matter of fact, the two largest property damage ever done in this country, even with inflation adjusted, was 1992, the LA riots, and what's happening now in Minnesota. But, I mean, and they're all political. It has nothing to do with something that actually harmed the people that are demonstrating. Blowing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I know.
Wow, they've got these people trained to go after anything. And I don't
That's
mind
my point. That is precisely my point, is that they got them ginned up, trained, armed, indoctrinated, and brainwashed. That they gin things up. If you go back in history, it's only a matter of time before America becomes South Africa. Now, we're a little ways away from that now, but we're starting to see the symptoms of it. And that's why there's a war on white males in America. That's the theme of my show, because they are trying to, you know, the evil whites in the suburbs, how dare they live well? How dare they live better than the people in the urban core of our big blue Democrat cities? How dare you, they say, right? We hear it all the time.
Yeah, I think the main reason now they have to come after the whites, regardless of what happened in their weird version of history, is that the people that first settled here and actually defined what the laws should be were white, most of them.
That's right. They were. They were European whites. It's a fact.
Yeah, and they said, we're going to honor God when we do it, which primarily came out of the South, which is why the North destroyed all that. All those universities got worked over in that war. And that was one of the main things they targeted was universities and banks.
That's right.
Yep. And when they wanted to pillage the people, when they went around raping people during that war, they went after the black women because they didn't know the law, which is
my
point. Yeah, so, and same thing's happening now. If you don't know what
the Civil War was a stupid war. Yeah, and the Civil War was a stupid war in the sense that it achieved hardly anything. There was 1 million bodies that were dead, about 500,000 more that were wounded. The South today has never recovered from the Civil War. The North didn't fare much better. To keep this thing together, I know Lincoln talks about that. You know, to me, it's very suspect. Again, I'm no big fan of Abraham Lincoln. I'm very objective to him, very impartial. But when you go back and look back in the lens of history, I mean, if you really want to boil it down, he went to war with America. Now, he has his promoters. I get all what he said. I know people will say he was going to ship them all back, blah, blah, blah. Thing is, yes, all that's true technically, but the bottom line is, even before that, he went to war with his own country. I mean, to me, it wasn't worth it because I don't see – we are not together. We're a patchwork quilt. Nothing was really achieved in the Civil War, but bloodshed, 1 million people died. It really – if you look back, it was kind of another blood ritual sacrifice, a brother war that they got instituted in this country to kill off our people to kill off millions of everybody of every creed, color, and race. And it was designed so the European powers could come back in and take control over America. It weakened us.
Right.
And very few people think about that angle. England and France were chomping at the bit to come back over here and take control. Go ahead, buddy.
And you've nailed it, because in both Mississippi and Georgia, I believe, if you look hard enough, you'll actually find a declaration saying that the reason this particular state went to war was over slavery. I'll give you a hint. Those were not put there before the Civil War. Okay, if you put the dates on those. In other words, somebody came in after the fact and said, we've got to hurry up and brand the history of this because we got them to commit such a mistake. All
That's
they needed
right.
to do is change the laws. All they needed to do was change the laws. They didn't do that. And so
right.
what happened? Yeah, secession, war. And then somebody comes in and says, now that we're done, oh, by the way, here comes the 14th Amendment, which I'm not particularly fond of. It didn't do its job. It's very poorly written and is, again, it's hard to tell what that means. Did we actually free slaves, or did we make everyone a slave to make us equal? Hard to tell the way they wrote that.
Ah, therein lies the riddle. And that's what I'm getting at. Yes, absolutely. That is
well, those
part of it. You know, it
continued forever. All those
yeah, war is hell.
Forever.
I don't think America entering World War I as a quote unquote unified nation or World War II made us better or great. All it really did was kill a lot of our guys for people that don't that hate us, other countries who can't stand us. They stab us in the back at the first moment of opportunity. I'm going, why are we spilling our blood overseas to these crap countries, these idiots, these monarchies? Screw them. We're not going to. They're not worth one ounce of American blood in my book.
Right. It's time now to requote Jason Jones from one of my earlier calls. The way you can tell if somebody's with it or not, I mean, God doesn't have to search deep inside your soul to find what he's looking for. Either you're kissing up or you're kissing down. And right now, America is doing nothing but kissing up, and we're falling apart. We don't get that we're supposed to be taking care of others and literally, you know, loving God with all our mind. Because right now, our mind is elsewhere. We think we have a heart and we can feel pain and joy and all that other stuff. Well, that's nice, dear. But the problem is, what are you going to do with that emotion? I've even seen that in my daughter's generation. They don't even know what freedom is now. They've completely lost the concept. I'm just going to go to work,
know.
And the economy is going to be worse than it was for my parents for the first time in history, by the way. And
right.
they see the bleakness of it. Oh, and by the way, Von Weehan, here's a piece of trivia I discovered this week. There's a new how do I want to say this? 611 is not an area code, right? It's a service. It's the same thing as 911 and 511.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
A new three-digit service is going to be put into effect on June 16, 2022. And that is 988, because obviously people can't remember the number for suicide prevention. We're going to make it easy. After we make you so confused, you're more likely than ever to commit suicide. If you remember, the reason Donald Trump came in and revamped the VA is because if you called them on their suicide hotline, they would literally say, oh, you have suicidal tendencies? Give up all your guns. You'll feel better. Yeah, nice job there.
Yeah, right.
So the VA was,
well, it's all part of their deep
the VA
population agenda. Yeah.
Yeah, the VA
Amazing.
Was losing. And what are they doing now? As we said before, we're driving down the freeway. And, of course, now to get the numbers bigger, it used to they tried to say 3.2 million Arizonans got vaccinated. I don't believe that. Now they're changing and saying it's 5.9 million doses given just to make the number look bigger. The answer is yeah,
right.
they probably all pumped them into the same person.
Exactly.
More.
Irish, thank you, buddy. Irish Pirate, folks. Sounding off tonight. Thank you so much. Great rant. I love it.
Thank you, Irish.
The
Have a great night, sir.
Is free.
Yes, the rant is free. Sorry, Tech Wizard, Irish Crowd. We get to other calls here very momentarily. Lincoln is up next, and then we're going to have Paul the Gladiator do cleanup at the last. Any new callers? We're at 563-999-3437. Remember Ronald Reagan in the shining city on a hill? Well, I do.
It's not that our liberal friends don't know anything. It's that they know so much that isn't so.
That's so true.
This is Rod Serling from the Twilight Zone, a place of sight and sound, now telling you to tune in to the Von Weehunt Show that's on in the evening, the dark of night. The night gallery is 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. to tune in to hear real talk. Get your dose of the Von Weehunt Show and the reality of what's going on in our world.
Get the real dose of the Von Weehunt Show every Thursday night. With that, let's get to Lincoln in flyover country from his fort and base front. How are you doing, brother? How's it going out there?
I've been better, man. I've kind of been I've been dealing with like a fever the last 3 days, like fever going up, fever going down, whatnot. So I haven't been to work in 3 days, which is, you know, but. So, yeah, I've been
better.
Hope
you're feeling
better.
All
right, man, I'll kick in a day or two. It's fine. I can tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not going to put on some stupid mask and get some stupid vaccine. I can tell you that for sure. I'm taking my NyQuil, my ibuprofen, and that type of shit, and I'll be over it in a couple of days. It's fine. I haven't been sick in 10 years, man. I'm due for it.
Exactly, man. Yeah, it's the people are dying from that vaccine. They're injecting poison into people. There was a doctor that came out and they try to censor them, but it's pretty common knowledge if you dig deep enough, folks, that vaccine is, it is the beast vaccine. It is terrible for you. Don't take it.
So since I've been off the last 3 days and I haven't really done much, I haven't done any hiking or fishing, nothing like that really, because my fever just goes up and down all day, all night. I've had time to do like a lot of research. And so I was looking into the whole Tulsa 1921 thing. I'd like to give you and your callers like a short synopsis of it. Like I can make it pretty quick. I can make it really long, whichever one you'd like.
Give us
the
clip version. Yeah.
Okay. So Tulsa 1921. I spent like, I don't know, 5-6 hours like reading about it, watching a couple documentaries. Like if you're gonna watch documentary, folks, watch old documentaries. The new shit. Yeah, it's been Jude taken over, changed, whatnot. So let me give you a breakdown of what really happened in Tulsa in 1921. So how that all started was a very large black man raped a very young white girl. The cops arrested the very large black man. Okay, he's arrested, he's in jail. The town of blacks show up at the police station, BLM style, and demand that he be released. Okay, so they're rioting in the streets demanding he be released. Well, the young girl who got assaulted and raped, her parents and her neighbor and their neighbors went to the police station to ask the police not to release the guy. Well, they went down there, and the black mob killed. It's debatable whether it's 10 or 11. Some say 10, some say 11. Some say 10, some say 11, some say 10 were killed, murdered, and one died of natural causes. But either way, 11 people died there that day, 11 white people by the black mob. So then the white mob, the whites formed their own mob and retaliated and killed 30 blacks. That's what's known as the 1921 Tulsa Massacre.
That's right. There's a reason why the whites went into the black neighborhood that the media is trying to hide from you folks. And you're spot on there, Lincoln. I've read about that, too. That is exactly what happened.
How come Biden didn't talk about that? We didn't hear about who started it. It's just these, oh my God, these poor innocent blacks were just murdered for no reason whatsoever. It sounds like World War II. These poor Jews were just murdered for no reason. Oh my God, they're so innocent, did nothing wrong. Like, it's why do we hear this bullshit? It's not even true history. Gunslinger was wrong when he said that you can't change history. History has already been changed completely unless you actually want to put forth the effort to find out for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've researched these things, too, and there's a reason why the Tulsa Massacre happened. We don't want a massacre on any level in this country, but I always tell folks, look, you are dealing with mobs, if they're right, left, or indifferent. Mobs take on a life of their own. They're not all cerebral when you have a mob. Mobs run on pure adrenaline and emotion, not necessarily critical thinking skills. So when a mob develops, they have a life of their own, a leader will emerge, and he'll say, let's go in there and let's clean house. We're pissed off. And there's reasons in history. You can bring up anything. There's reasons why people do what they do. Take Tulsa Massacre. How about the massacres in the Crusades? Why did we go down to the Holy Lands? Why did we kill millions of Muslim infidels, okay, that took over the Holy Grounds? There's a reason why the popes formed armies and sent their troops down there. There's a reason why things happen. There's a reason why Hitler came to power. There's a reason why Tulsa Massacre happened. Nobody wants violence, but at the same time, look, I've always said it's raw emotion, right? A girl gets raped. I mean, and this is 1921 morality too, Lincoln, you know? A lot different than today. Back then, that was big news. Big news.
I would argue that it was not a massacre at all. I would argue that it's eye for an eye retaliation that the whites did not start.
Yeah, well, that's also very, very fair. No, I agree. That's very, very fair. The whites finished it, but the media has a narrative. Their agenda is evil white man. That's why my theme tonight is war on the white males. They're trying to get the browns and blacks in America to hate whitey. And that's the whole genesis. That's the whole crux nucleus of this Tulsa Massacre. You see it all over the news. Tulsa Massacre, you know, blacks killed by mobbed armed whites. So it's designed, one, to foster hatred against whites and to take the guns away from whites. Gun control, they'll say, well, we can't have guns in the hands of violent whites, right? So we have to pass new legislation to take those guns. And that's going to be the backup plan as this unfolds. You mark my words. It's all going to dovetail right into it. Go ahead, man.
I don't really think they realize where all this narrative they're pushing is. I don't think either political party or the media, either one, fully grasps where they're driving your average blue-collar white man. I mean, they're driving them both away from both parties. They're encouraging both people, they're encouraging white men to look into alternative things that they have never even thought about before. Good Lord, did you see, like, Boomer Ted Nugent's post on Facebook yesterday? I mean, he, like, called out the media for what they are, like, who owns the entire media, which he, you know, I never thought I'd see that from a guy like Ted Nugent, Mr. My Freedoms in America guy. I never thought I would, like, see him, like, actually name them on who owns the entire media, but he did. They're driving people to look into alternative things that they've never thought about before.
It's true. That's true. And the more they push – here's what I always say. The Democrats don't know when to stop, Lincoln. They always overplay their hand. And that's what I mean when I say that things could just happen organically. I know Democrats. I know militant Democrats and minorities, they are never satisfied. They're never happy. Misery loves company. They're always miserable. So they push their agenda, push their narrative, push reparations. You hear constant drumbeat. And they're always out in the streets pushing. And they do not stop. And to them, they are very angry people, very negative people, the Democrats are. I just call them Democrats with a broad stroke. They're pissed off at America. They're pissed off at Whitey. And these things are all designed to culminate in a movement. The movement's going to be to, we've seen it all, you know, on the streets now, attack Whitey, the knockout game, That's why I've said for years, self-balkanize, get with your own kind. It's not that you aren't going to be nice to other people. It's just that there's so many elements in those other demographics that have an axe to grind against you or me or others that you don't want to even be in proximity to them is inviting violence, is inviting an altercation, is inviting something where someone's going to pop off at you verbally. Someone's going to say, just avoid them like the plague. I'm a big believer right now, especially in white flight. If you're a white guy, you're damn right. And if you're a white guy or gal, and you're in, if you're surrounded by, you know, militants, minorities, people that hate your guts, people that fight you every day, people that, you know, get the hell out of there, get in your car and go somewhere. You can always, you can't say you don't have enough money. You can always hop on a Greyhound bus for $50 and get across country. If it's that bad, if you're that poor, I'm just saying, do what you got to do. In other words, because the way things are going, we could blow this stuff off 5-10 years ago, and even then it was a stretch. Now it's no longer a stretch. It's just, it's very obvious to me they have agendas and narratives, and they're not going to stop.
We're at a point now where, I mean, whites only make up 7% of the population worldwide. It's kind of a joke that we call them the minority. Sure, they might be the temporary minority in this country or in most European or in all European countries for now. But it's a kind of a weird to like call them minorities whenever whites make up European whites make up 7% of the population worldwide. People don't stop and fathom how the populations of Africa, Asia, Arab countries like India, things like that, we're actually the minority worldwide, big time.
That's right.
And I think we're being replaced. I really think that they've decided that they need our land, our resources. Everyone fears this alien invasion, these aliens coming down, taking our land. You know, when I was a kid reading, like, you know, these books and space, you know, stuff and reading about aliens coming because they want our resources, things like that, I think it's actually happening, but it's not by space aliens. It's happening by non-white ethnicities.
Right. Right. Well, that's, they are the real aliens, right? Yeah, it's look, yeah. America's dicey in many areas, and I've talked about this. You might live in a good area. My area is pretty solid, very solid here in Arizona, but that's also why years ago I moved 1,000 miles away. I'll be very blunt. There's pockets where you're at, Lincoln, other parts. If you're east of the Rockies, that's old America in my book. There's a lot of great areas out there, and I've told guys that's a great place to buy a house. They're a hell of a lot cheaper. There's a lot of good places like where you're at, hunting, fishing. You're in a good locale. You're safe. Ozarks, damn straight.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to understand that also that's where a ton of Democrats live. And a ton of minorities live out there, and they're militant. Not all of them. A lot of them are nice. We're not saying, but let's be honest. I mean, Tulsa was marched in. Dallas was marched in. Louisiana was marched in by these same groups, BLM, Black Panthers, et cetera. So my point is that these things are ginning up in that part of America mainly. Now, west of the Rockies, it is predominantly white. It's also a lot more expensive. For example, the houses in Boise, Idaho went up 250% in the last 4 or 5 years. So they're no longer affordable. The word's out. The West is very expensive now. If you're new coming in with no equity and no money, I tell guys you're going to have to work your ass off, work 2 jobs for 10 years, save every nickel. And you'll have to buy a small house and kind of leapfrog up and sell it every 3-4 years and be moving a lot until you can finally get something that's more decent. But that's the way the country's kind of set. Our problem out west is all the militant liberals like in Portland and Seattle and downtown L.A. Is going to blow. That area is just – now there's, again – parts of LA that are very nice. Yet you got to know where to go. I know where to go when I go out there. So stay in Orange County. If you ever go to California, avoid Los Angeles proper, unless you know where you're going. But it's just in Portland is a cesspool. And all these, Seattle has a major problem. So there's lots of areas in the country that were where there could be flashpoints right in the future. And a lot of people just need to, what you got to do, you just got to be prepared for any eventuality, literally. Biden's not going to protect you folks. It's really up to us. Go ahead, Lincoln.
Another thing I was going to tell you that really bothered me, I've spent too much time on social media the last few days because I've been not feeling good, not working the last 3 days. But what's up with this whole new, Rhonda McDaniel thing, this whole new, push from groups like Turning Point USA and, these conservative groups? What's up with their whole new message now? Their whole new message that Turning Point USA and some other conservative groups are running with is that socialists are the real transphobes. They're anti-LGBTQ+.
Yes.
Vote for us because we're the real party of that.
I saw that. Yeah. I don't know what the F they're talking about. To me, they're grasping for straws. Their foundation, their bottom line is they're trying. I know what they're trying to do from a marketing perspective, Lincoln. They're trying to be this big tent. They think if we're just really cool to everybody, have a big tent philosophy, we're going to have gays and lesbians and blacks and cholos and browns and Asians and whitey, and we're going to have all these great votes for our new candidates, right? And they think that's how we're going to win elections. No. That is not how you're going. On paper, it looks good, but it's not going to win in reality. All you're going to do is alienate people and divide people further because you don't stand for anything. And we all know the conservatives don't conserve anything in America. They give it away, and they've been giving it away to try to get political power and curry favor with the leftist media. It doesn't work. Trump found that out. A lot of whites who voted for him in 2016, it's a fact, did not vote for him in 2020. Yes, he gained a little bit here or there, but Trump courted, what gets me is Trump courted the black lobby in D.C. every week. Now, nothing wrong with that. I get it. You're a politician. But my point is the blacks that you courted for four hard years, weren't they always coming out every week saying, well, the greatest thing is the lowest black unemployment in America, Lincoln? That's the most wonderful thing ever. No, there's more wonderful things than that, though that's great economically. My point is they kept harping on that and other little themes like that. And I think it's sort of people were like, well, what about us? If you're Hispanic or if you're white or if you're Asian, it was always. And my point is the blacks did not give Trump the margin of victory. Now, they'll say it was stolen, and it was. But my point is we knew it was going to be stolen. My thing is Trump had to have overwhelming, I'm talking even millions more than what he had, because we all know now that the leftists were scrambling on election night to cover up the Trump vote. If Trump had 4 or 5 million extra votes in all those key states, it would have been a lot harder, I'm saying, to cover it up. They barely covered it up as it was. And Trump needed every vote going in, and I told everybody he needs every vote because the Democrats are going to cheat. It's what they do. That's how they win elections. They hardly ever win fair and square. So my point is, Trump may have had the numbers, but the media screwed him over. And, look, Trump did not fight, if you also notice, he also took it on the chin. Maybe it was the best move, and he went back to Mar-a-Lago, where he's at today. So, look, it was a screwed-up election. I'm not blaming Trump. I'm not blaming the people, but I'm just saying I think he should have been. And my point is, instead of harping on 4 years of black unemployment or this or that or any protected group, he should have been trying to make the election fair and working overtime to make damn sure that when he ran in 2020 that he was going to win. And I think that is where the Republicans neglect that whole area of the election, because they trusted it and they shouldn't have trusted it. Go ahead. Your final thoughts.
Well, in my opinion, this is a guy who did not vote for Trump in 2020. I did in 2016. It's something that he ran on. It was one of his things that he talked about early and often, which was cleaning up elections. And from what I saw in 4 years, he literally did nothing, barely talked about it, barely put forth any effort whatsoever, if any at all, to actually clean up the elections and make elections legit. I didn't see him do anything because he was terrified, just like every other Republican. He'd rather lose than be called racist.
That's my point. And that's exactly where you and I agree. He spent too much time trying to get votes. And like Stalin always said, it doesn't matter who votes for you. It matters who counts the votes. The Democrats counted the votes, the Marxists, and they won. Case in point.
So I got
right.
one more
He's,
closing thing.
He,
I got, I,
yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, man. I heard a pause there, but I think we're on a bit of a delay. I heard a pause there. I thought it was my turn. I'm not trying to interrupt you, brother.
The floor is yours, brother.
I just want to say, I spend a lot of time, on my Gab or on my old Twitter and things like my bullshit Facebook account, things like that. And I always go by the name of Lincoln. Like, when I call the show, I go by the name Lincoln. And it's funny because everyone always thinks, oh, you're an Abraham Lincoln fan, and they attack me for that. No, I'm not an Abraham Lincoln fan at all. You know well that I'm not an Abraham Lincoln fan by any means.
Right.
But it's funny because they always just think that I'm an Abraham Lincoln fan. No, I actually use that name because of a person I really like a lot named George Lincoln Rockwell. And he had a famous quote one time where he said, the word love, without a deadly hate for things against what you love, is just a catchphrase for hippies, queers, and cowards. And I think he predicted the future. That's where we're at, and we've been at for decades.
God. That's a great call. Lincoln, thank you so much, man. Have a great night out there. We do appreciate you, man. Take care.
Have a good night, brother.
You too. Thank you, brother. It's Lincoln from Missouri, the show me state out there, and beautiful flyover country, by the way. Hunting, fishing, guys, cheap houses. You can get yourself into a nice house there for $100,000, maybe even less. Why are you paying $300,000-$500,000 when you're making $15-$16 an hour? Are you nuts? I know you love it out west. You mountain bike, you hike, I get it. But you do the same thing out there. And I'm telling you, those are parts of the country that are undervalued. Missouri, northern Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas. Texas is too expensive. But Indiana is not a bad state. I went to college there. Even parts of Ohio, I mean, Kentucky, is Tennessee. You know, still some good places out there to live. You know, Rocky Balboa is a fighter, and I want all of you to be a fighter, too, going forward. We know that we have to, it may be going the distance, if you know what I mean. We'll be right back. Yes, we will go the distance in America. We will go the distance for ourselves, our friends, our family, our suburbs, our neighborhoods, our associates. We'll have Paul the Gladiator up here in a moment. But I would say this, despite the fracas on Capitol Hill on January the 6th, it was a brawl, we all know that, but it certainly was not even close in damage or violence or even casualties to the routine riots we saw last summer and fall from BLM and Antifa rioting all last year in all the Democrat cities, rioting that the Marxist Democrats tacitly even supported. But those rioters were not just allies of the elite. They embrace what they did. They embrace what BLM and Antifa did to all of the American cities, whether it was Seattle or Portland or L.A. or D.C., Chicago, Atlanta, Dallas, and so on. But when January the 6th happened, the elite felt threatened. Why? Because it was you, the American white male, predominantly there. And so we're all now supposed to accept their narrative and their agenda without bursting into laughter and snickering, that they're telling you that January 6th was the worst thing to ever happen in the history of America. That is what they're trying to drive home to you. And with that, we'll go to Paul the Gladiator as our cleanup crew tonight. We covered a hell of a lot of ground in this 2 hours, but that's why the Von Wiehunt Show is rogue and legendary. Gladiator, how are you doing tonight?
Good, man. I've been listening to everybody's thoughts tonight, and some good stuff. You know, that was the one thing that Lincoln had said that came to my mind. Like, you know, the Democrats are framing this as a massacre, and I knew this story from many years ago. And really, what it was basically a rape case that created a racial conflict. And it, you know, it seemed to me that the black people brought a knife to the gunfight.
That's right.
And it's basically, you know, it's like nowadays the Democrats better watch out, because they're going after the people who have the guns, and they're going to bring the gun to the gunfight. And a lot of these, you know, that's why we're seeing black militia groups that are armed doing their marches, because I think they're well aware that when the white guy shows up with a gun, and you can only poke us so much, you can only take so much away from us that we've earned of our own effort and labor, our own mindful thoughts, created our success. And if everybody just did that in America and didn't want to get something for free for nothing, then it wouldn't be any racial war. But you can only push any ethnic group so far. And if you keep pushing the white male in America, you're going to find that you're going to go up against, in a war, you're going to go up against very well-armed men who are not afraid to pull the trigger. Don't try to take away our homes. Don't try to take away our cars. Don't try to rape our wives, girlfriends, or children, because we will kill you. Obviously.
Damn right.
History has shown that. And we're not afraid to do it. And if there are legal consequences, you better come with a really good case that the rape didn't matter and the opposition murdering our people didn't matter, because we won't start the conflict. We will defend it and we will finish it. And I think, you know, some people are starting to wake up to that fact. The politicians aren't, and that's why they're going to push all the triggers they can, and they're going to back us in the corner. You know, when you poke that tiger and pull his tail, he comes around and he swipes all his claws into you, and that's basically what's going to end up happening sooner or later. You know, I hope it doesn't, but it just seems like we're going down that road, you know?
Totally agree. And, Paul, one thing that I would say is that this show is heard, I know, by people on Capitol Hill and political elites and Hollywood elites and other people. I would say that you guys in the media have got all the power, baby. You got the power of the airwaves. I'm a sole proprietor, producer, producing a radio show, a pirate radio show. I can't compete against their millions of bandwidth and billions of dollars of advertising revenue to get their narratives and anti-white male agendas out. We see it in all the newspapers and things. And why are black, just rhetorically speaking, in every commercial now, in every ad, when they're only 13% at most of the population? There's always a mixed race couple in every ad, every commercial. You hardly ever see a white couple anymore. These are agendas that they're doing. And Paul, you're right, that one thing about the white male that I will tell them again and again, it's been seen throughout history, we have a very long fuse. We are not quick to anger. Well, we are sometimes, but we're not quick to anger at the drop of a hat. We normally like to give our fellow man the benefit of the doubt. We have a long fuse, but I will say this, where other races to me have a very short fuse. They're more emotional. The minorities get very emotional very, very quickly. They're very angry. They're very prone to anger at the drop of a hat. That's why you see these blacks shoot each other always on the LA freeways, or the blacks will fire guns at each other constantly every weekend in Chicago. Adrenaline's running high and their emotions are running high. Where the white man is more cerebral, but I will say this, when we get our act together, when we're really pissed off, and I mean really pissed off, we go for the throat, and we don't just fight, we take it all over. You can go back and look at the Vikings. You can go back and look at the Crusades. Go back and look at the Third Reich. Go back and look at America in Vietnam. And we're pushing a corner. The napalm comes out. The atomic bombs come out, as in World War II. We fight, and we fight to win, and we fight decisively. We don't care what it takes or how long it takes or how much money it takes. Because at that point, we're committed, and we are in the castle siege. We have a siege mentality. We dig in, and we will take over the whole damn thing. So you should be very, 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 very careful about poking the white male, what you call the bear in America. We are the cougar. We are the mountain lion. Keep poking that mountain lion. Keep messing with them. Keep laughing at it, trying to take its money, its home, like you said, rape its women, kill its kids. Keep doing it. At some point, things will coalesce, and all hell will break loose. And I've told people, don't come to me for sympathy. Don't come to me and wring your hands and the gnashing of teeth and go, why, why? I'll say, I've been talking about it for years. Where the hell were you? So. Yeah. I don't want those things to happen, as you don't, but that's where we're at.
Well, a couple of things. So, I learned very young by a mentor, because when I hit the real world after college, I had a lot of emotion, which came out as if I was angry, but I wasn't. I was just very passionate and emotional about what I was doing. So this mentor taught me a very good lesson about emotional intelligence.
Yes.
And that's quite honestly something you're not going to find in lower-income neighborhoods, because if you're not quick to fuse and you don't show yourself physically to be strong, then when you're in the lower-income neighborhoods, ghettos, I grew up in the East, so I grew up, I've been in Father Panic Village. I've been in Old Harlem. I know what those neighborhoods are like. And if they're not quick to fuse, then you have no power there. So I was taught that emotional intelligence level, which really boded well in my life, because I was always able to just squash any emotional anger or you know, even a passionate emotional response, you know, to tame that down. But, you know, we can only hold it down so much. Now, going back to what you said, because we've talked about this. So I think it was like on a Saturday afternoon that I put this text message out to a few people that I know. I had seen 20 commercials on a Saturday afternoon on ABC. And out of those 20 commercials, there was 19 commercials that the producers of those commercials were pushing for interracial families. And it was interesting because, you know, it was always one black parent and one white parent, but the children were always black. And I was
That's right.
Wait a minute, why aren't the children of a mixed color, they're always black children, with a white parent and a black parent? And I was like, they're not even shaded in between, that's number one. And these were all major corporations, Chevy, gas companies, food companies, franchise food, and only one out of the 20 had one white couple. And I was like,
that's right.
Wait a minute. They are trying to push everybody to interracially date. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of black women. And those black women nowadays are so upset because they can't find any black men to date because they're all wanting to date white women and have brown children. And the white women,
that's right,
and the black women, like, the black women have a very insecure inside because they really are taught now that their children are no good unless a white man breeds those children. Do not breed with a black man because full black children are supposedly no good. That's what these corporate advertisers are teaching these black women, and the black men don't even want to date them anymore. It's ridiculous. They are actually creating their own issues. And these are Democrats that run the television commercial development and the television stations. They're all liberal left. They are promoting their own issues. They are creating a race war, and they don't even – I don't even think they understand that they are upsetting their black community on the female side to the nth degree. And they see the commercials like we see the commercials. You know, these black women are like, wait a minute, you mean my kids are no good? Like, why can't a black man with a black woman have – you know, why can't there be a black family in a commercial? What's wrong with the black family? That's no good anymore?
That's
so
right.
They're teaching them against what they're preaching. You know, so it's a really a screwed up situation in this country, man. Like, I just don't understand. Why are they trying to promote division? They think they're promoting inclusivity, but they're actually promoting division.
That's right.
They don't even know. Yeah.
Totally agree with that. That sums it up. And you are correct, Paul. And, yeah, we have talked about that over a few cocktails before that, yeah, these commercials, we know the scam by the Hollywood producers and the directors. We know you're trying to gender bend. You're trying to race mix. We get it. We see what you're doing. But lately, the latest trend I've noticed is that there's always a very handsome white guy with a black woman wife. Not Hispanic, not Asian, black. Nothing wrong with that. But my point is that, look, that's what they're pushing. And I don't see many black guys, but they want to create another subgenre, another demographic of white husbands and black wives is the latest thing. They're always, you know,
They love this mixing up everything. To them, it's just wonderful. It's manna from heaven. And all they're doing is creating more and more division. And that's why people are cutting cable. They're tired of watching those commercials. They're tired of the sports people taking a knee. They're sick of all this crap. And they're just saying, you know what? To hell with it all. I don't need it in my life. I don't need a bigger cable bill. Or, you know, I don't need 10 TVs to watch this crap in my house. I will do other things. And I think it's a wonderful thing and a wonderful movement. What are your final thoughts to America, Paul? I'll give you the last word.
You know, don't listen to these Democrat leftists. You know, they use the word massacre when it was a conflict based upon a rape. You know, any and all American-born lives matter. Doesn't matter what your race is. If you're born in America with an American family, not coming over the border to give birth and going back to Mexico or Canada, because somebody from China might go to Canada, cross the border, give birth, and go back to Canada. So if you're American born, I don't care what race you are, you know, those should be the people we're caring about. You know, not sending $500 million over to the Gaza Strip because they had a war. Let's give the $500 million to the homeless in America. How about the homeless veterans? Let's build them all a home. How about the homeless families with children? Let's build them a home. You know, Nancy Pelosi's giving out food today in San Francisco at a food bank and saying, look, everybody's going to eat. And I'm like, yeah, and you just sent $500 million over to the Gaza Strip. Why don't you give $500 million to all the families in front of you? Let's build them. Why don't we just go buy land that the government owns? Let's go buy it from the government, build all the homes, and let's put these homeless families, instead of putting their food in their car where all their belongings are because they're homeless, let's go drive the car to a home that our tax dollars paid for. I'm sick of paying for the Gaza Strip to get rebuilt for the 15th time in the last 30 years.
It's like rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. Right. We never learn. We never learn. It's money down the drain. And we're real America first guys, you and me and others that call the show. And I'm for America first. To hell with the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, Israel, the Middle East, Africa. They can fend for themselves. We have Americans that need help in our country. Help out Americans first.
Brazil. Right? I mean, yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense for all our hardened dollars that we give to the government in the form of taxes, and they give it away to the rest of the world. We can't even build our own country. And, you know, that's why we, you know, for 3 years, I mean, I don't know why anybody would not have voted for Trump, because the alternative of Biden was so bad. And I'll tell you where Trump lost the election. He actually would have won if there was no third candidate. So this libertarian candidate, if you go look at the numbers, this libertarian candidate across the country got about 27 million votes.
Mm-hmm.
You add those 27 million votes to Trump across all the states, the Democrats couldn't have cheated him out of the presidency. So if somebody thought that they were voting for the libertarian, who you know is never going to win, and you do that as a statement, well, then I got news for you. If you're having a hard time during these 4 years of Biden, you voted for Biden because you gave your vote away to somebody who had zero chance of winning. So if you did your I'm going to do my thoughtful vote, and I'm going to vote for somebody who can't win, but I'm going to take it away from Trump so that he loses, then you deserve what you got. And then all of us who voted for Trump, watch out for us in 2024, because he's running. Don't think he's not running. He is running for president. No one's going to go up against him. He's going to get the nomination, and then we're going to go grab people like you, and we're going to tell you, if you vote libertarian again, I'll never talk to you ever again the rest of your life. Because the nominee is going to be Harris. As the gunslinger says, camel toe, right?
That's
so,
right.
If you allow her to get in after Biden by voting Libertarian, then you definitely deserve what you got. I'm not going to be struggling through with everybody else. I already know that. Okay, so, but I'll laugh my ass off if you're going to be struggling out there, you, the people who vote for the non-winning, you know, candidate, any third-party
right.
candidate. I mean, just don't waste, that's a waste of your time, your energy to go vote and vote that way. You're voting your conscience? You should be voting
it
your
is.
Bank account.
Paul, you are yeah. right. Trump must win again, and we're going to help him, buddy. Hey, thanks a lot. Great, great points there. Paul the Gladiator, folks, from his North compound in Phoenix. We love you all, and be safe out there. Stand up tall for your identity, white man in America. You know that sometimes they really are after you. Reject the cultural poison and the beast COVID shot that is being forced upon you. Be safe and be well in the days, weeks, and months ahead. You will need to be very strong and just recognize what it is. Their assaults against you, against us, and our way of life know no bounds. We thank you all for being here tonight from my underground studio in the deep mountains of Arizona. We're so glad you're here. America is desperate. We are not a serious nation. We are desperate, but not serious. Good night. Now we'll talk to you soon, my friends.